Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So we started looking at the first laws of the kingdom of God last week, and we want to continue looking at these first laws. Actually, we introduced the first laws of the kingdom from the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 to 3, where we said that there are six foundational teachings of the Lord Jesus that he taught us in his bid to establish the kingdom of God among us. So Jesus came with the kingdom of God, and when he came, he taught some six things that the Bible attributes to him. The Bible uses the phrase, the laws, or as you say, the doctrine of Christ, or the teaching of Christ. The first one is what? Repentance from dead works. Number two is faith towards God. And then the doctrine of baptism, the teaching of baptisms. Number four is laying on of hands. Number five is resurrection of the dead. And then number six is eternal judgment. These are six things that the Bible attributes to Jesus Christ as his teachings, foundational teachings. Now, these foundational teachings, in it, we have some things hidden. You know, there is something hidden behind every teaching. There is something that undergates every teaching. So, in the teaching of repentance from dead works, we have something hidden under, known as the law of managing and making and managing personal changes. All right? The law of making and managing personal changes. Now, faith towards God, we have hidden under it the law of living by divine assurances. And baptism, we have the law of faith by love. And laying on of hands, we have the law of human involvement in the supernatural. Okay? Resurrection, we have the law of the supremacy of life. And then, eternal judgment, we have the law of the lordship of. That is what we want to look at today. We want to take it from the back. Eternal judgment. The law of the lordship of God. Or of Jesus Christ. So we want to learn something about lordship. Okay. It is hidden under the teaching of eternal judgment. So if you understand, for example, the lordship of God or of Jesus, then you can best be able to appreciate Jesus' teaching on eternal judgment. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Now, the word Lord is used so many times in the Bible about God. It is used about 6,751 times in the Bible. And it is the commonest title that is used about God, okay, or about Jesus. The commonest title that is used about God or Jesus is Lord, L-O-R-D, all right? Now, in the Hebrew, the word Lord is Jehovah, or if you like, Yahweh. And so in the Old Testament, anytime you come across Lord, Lord God, it is the word Jehovah, okay? Now, in the New Testament, which was written in the Greek language, the word Lord is Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S. And it means somebody who is supreme in authority. Somebody who is overall, the controller, the master. Okay? That's wonderful. So, actually, you see that in our lives as believers and even unbelievers, they refer to God more as Lord. It's one of the titles of God that is commonly used. But unfortunately, we have very little understanding of it because we say Lord, Lord, but we don't really, really, really understand what it means for God or Jesus to be Lord. Now, I want us to understand that the greatest revelation God wants us to have about him is that he is Lord. That is how come he keeps on repeating, the Bible keeps on repeating that name. Why? Because it is the greatest revelation he wants us to have about him. And it will interest you to know that the word Lord, if you look at the history of it, it was used only when mankind was created. In other words, if you look at the creation story from Genesis chapter 1 to maybe chapter 3, you will see that in Genesis chapter 1, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. You will see that in Genesis chapter 1, the word Lord does not appear at all. It doesn't appear. We only have God. The Hebrew word translated God there is Elohim. In the beginning, God created, or Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So if you look at your Bible, in the whole of Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating, listen very carefully to me. When God was creating and showing forth his power, can we all say power? When God was showing forth his hand, can we all say hand? You notice that the word that is used to describe him is God, or the title, or his name is God. All right, Elohim. But in Genesis chapter 2, when man was created on the sixth day, the word Lord was introduced in the Bible from Genesis chapter 2 and then verse number 4. Okay? He says this, Genesis 2, 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. Okay, so this is the first time the title Lord is used about God in the Bible. And it was used when man was created. It was used when man was created. Okay, that should tell us something, that God wants to relate with mankind as Lord, as somebody who is a controller, as somebody who is in charge, as somebody who is king, as somebody who is supreme in authority. Okay? So, it is important for us to understand the name, the concept of lordship as human beings on this earth, because it is for us that God called himself Lord, the Lord God. Now, I want you to understand also something, that the word Lord is a kingdom word. In other words, it is a word that introduces to us the fact that God is a king, the one who is a controller, he is the one who is in charge. So it is only when man was created that God called himself Lord. In other words, God was introducing to mankind a certain system we call the kingdom system. When he wanted to bring the kingdom of God on this earth, he called himself Lord. So God calling himself Lord was a way of declaring that he is king. Hallelujah. He was declaring the kingdom of God on this earth. You must understand that the earth was created as an annex of heaven. Okay? And then mankind, or human beings, were created as little gods, small gene, or little lots, so to speak, so that human beings would rule this earth in the way God wants, just as God himself directly ruled heaven. So look at heaven ruled by God. The earth is created as an annex of heaven to be ruled by who? Man. Mankind. Hallelujah. So when man was created, then God used the word Lord about himself, because he was declaring the kingdom system to us at the time. Hallelujah. Now, the most important feature of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom system, is that of ownership of all things. In other words, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, you must know that God is Lord or is King. He is the one who is in charge. He is the one who is supreme in authority. There is no one above him. He is Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is the most important thing about the kingdom system, or one of the fundamental laws about the kingdom of God, is that God is King. He is Lord over all. Lordship also means that he is the one who is the owner of all things. That is why you call the person who built a house and rented it out to you a landlord. Landlord means that he is the one who is in charge. All right, he is the owner of the house in which you're living in. Okay, so you call him the landlord. He is in charge of the house in which you are. So of all things by God is very important in the kingdom system. Look at Matthew chapter 7, and then verse 21. We want to this understanding with the scripture, the understanding that God calling himself Lord was his way of declaring the kingdom of God has come on earth. The kingdom system has come. Look at verse 21. Who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Alright, so over here, Jesus Christ links the concept of lordship to the kingdom of God. That Lord is talking about the kingdom of God. So if you call him Lord, it doesn't automatically mean that you enter the kingdom of God. That means that lordship, or calling Jesus Christ Lord, has linkage to the kingdom system, or the kingdom of God coming into your life, coming on the system. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, and I want to show you something God revealed to me some time back. It's very important that you understand what I'm going to say to you right now. Having established the fact that by God calling himself Lord, when man was created, it's a way of declaring that he wants mankind to live in the kingdom system, in the kingdom of God. This is to be an extension of the heavenly kingdom. We are going to note something important about lordship over here. Genesis 2 and then verse 4. So in Genesis 2:4, we see the first time the word Lord is used. Okay? In other words, the kingdom system is introduced. Look at Genesis 2:7. And Lord God. Verse 8, Genesis 2. The Lord God. You see that throughout, the scriptures refer to God as Lord and God. Verse 9, we see the Lord God. Verse 15, then the Lord God. Verse 18, Lord God. It's not God or Lord, but Lord God. Okay? Verse 19, Lord God. Verse 21, Lord God. Verse 22, Lord God. All right? So you see that even in Genesis chapter 3 and then verse 1, we come across the Lord God. Now, serpent was more cunning than a beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, we see that God calls himself God. We don't see the word Lord. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the word Lord added to God. Okay? And tells us that he wants his kingdom system to be recognized by mankind. That is why he used the word Lord about himself only when man, human beings, were created.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message, ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Now, I want you to see something in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1b to verse 5. Because the devil is trying to tempt mankind. He's trying to get mankind or human beings to disobey God. And how does he do it? Whereas in the whole of chapter 2, we see Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. The devil is addressing Eve, and he says, Genesis 3, 1b, and he said to the woman, that's the serpent, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Please underline God. You see that the devil in talking to mankind about God, he doesn't use the word Lord. He just uses the word God. In other words, he's taking mankind to the beginning where we see Elohim, God, where we see the hand of God, where we see God doing what? Creating with power. Let there be lights. Let there be fish sea. Let the dry land appear and things like that. He's taking mankind to that period of power, to that period of the hand of God, to that period of God being the mighty God that we know him to be. So he says, has God indeed said? And look at verse 3. The devil is talking. But of the fruits, or Eve is talking this time. But of the fruit of the knowledge, of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Eve is following the steps of the devil by calling God, God, and not Lord God, as God wants mankind to note or call him by. In other words, to recognize his kingdom system. Look at verse 5 also. The devil is talking and he says that, for God knows. The same verse 5, you see another God over there. But in verse 8, Genesis chapter 3, you see that after the temptation of mankind, which happened when the devil left out the word Lord, that revelation God wants us to get about the kingdom system, it goes back to the relationship God wants us to have with him as Lord. So look at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God, not God, but the Lord God. The same verse 8, we see another Lord God. Verse 9, Lord God. Verse 13, Lord God. Verse 14, Lord God. All right? Verse 21, Lord God. 22, Lord God. 23, Lord God. That's wonderful. It tells us that in the whole of Genesis chapter 2, when God created mankind and wants to relate with mankind as Lord, or let mankind understand the kingdom system, the devil, in trying to get mankind to rebel, first of all did what? Took the concept of lordship away from Eve, from mankind, before Eve could fall. It's important for you to understand this. Because the devil came and then he said, has God said? Making Eve to forget the fact that God is Lord, or he is the one who charge, and his word is the one that must be taken. So he said, has God said? And Eve fell for the temptation before she ever took the fruit. There was something that took place in her mind and in her heart, introduced by the devil. Eve repeated after the devil and said that God has said. And the devil reinforced it and said again, God knows that if you eat it, you will be like God. He totally left out the word Lord. And right after the temptation, continued, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. What I want you to see is this. In the devil trying to get you to rebel, he will try to get you to forget about the kingdom system in which mankind is, and he was. Once you don't have the kingdom system of God in your life, you don't recognize as Lord, as your owner, as the owner of everything that you have, all your money, all your property. Once you don't recognize him as your owner, that he owns you, O-W-N, then you can rebel against him. Hallelujah. It took place in the mind of Eve. When Lord was erased from mind of Eve, then Eve fell. The whole of mankind fell. But God wants us always to lift up the kingdom system. Just the use of the word Lord is a declaration of the kingdom arrangement that he is the one who is my king, he is the one who is my Lord, he is the one whose word I should obey, he is the one who is supreme in authority. It is the kingdom. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 3. The Bible teaches us that the kingdom arrangement of God was taken away from mankind, devil, leaving out the word Lord or the kingdom arrangement, making mankind to forget. One of the important ministries of the Holy Spirit is to bring back the concept of lordship, is to bring back the kingdom arrangement to mankind. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 3 says that nobody can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit came to enable human beings on this earth to recognize the kingdom system, the kingdom arrangement, or the kingdom of God that must be on earth, in their lives, in their societies, in their homes, everywhere that human beings are. Hallelujah. So the lordship of God, of Jesus, is of prime importance. Hallelujah. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the way you know somebody, listen carefully, determines how the person will relate with you. The way you know somebody will determine how the person will relate with you. So, if you know somebody is called Kojo Asan, for example, the way that you relate with Kojo Asan will determine how he will also relate with you. So, if you relate with him as Kojo, you understand that. If you relate with him with his first name, then the person becomes very personal with you. But if you relate with him as Mr. Asan, then the person becomes very formal with you, so to speak. So the way that you relate with me, with you, somebody relates with you, determines the response to the person. If you relate with God as God, there is a way he will respond to you. If you relate with him as Lord God, as he wants, the total picture, then it is how he relates with you. Let me explain something to you. The Lord, okay, is in the Hebrew Jehovah or Yahweh. Now, this is the way God wants mankind to relate with him. Because it was only when man was created that he said, I am called Lord God. The word Lord or Jehovah is a name of God that is associated with relationship. Because we call it the covenant name of God. It's the name that God, in agreement with mankind, wants to be known. All right? So, if you look at the name Jehovah, we have various things by the name that makes us to benefit, that gets us blessed. So, we have the covenants of God like Jehovah Jireh. That means that God has agreed when he created man that because I am Lord, I am going to provide for you. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord, our provider. So if you know God as Lord, Lord God, then you know him as a provider. Hallelujah. Look at another covenant name of God, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means God or the Lord who heals you. And that is to our benefit. It's an agreement he has made that I am going to heal you. Hallelujah. And we have Jehovah Tsekunu. It means God or the Lord, our righteousness, and that accrues to our benefit. Hallelujah. We have Jehovah Shalom. It means God has agreed that I am your peace. I will give you peace as far as this earth is concerned. So the word Lord, which means Jehovah, was used when man was created so that man can benefit from the righteousness of God. Man can benefit from the peace. Man can benefit from healing and enjoy health. Man can benefit from provision, Jehovah Jireh. So the way that you know God is going to determine the way he's going to relate with you. Now, I want you to note something else as we explore the subject of the first law of the kingdom, namely the lordship of God. It's a basic law of the kingdom of God. And you need to be grounded in these basics for the whole scripture and the kingdom arrangement to open up to you. All right. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, we have gone through saying over and over again that in Genesis 1, we see God. And then we see God creating, doing powerful things, separating the sea, creating animals, creating things, all right, creating mankind. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, when mankind had been created, he introduced another name, the Lord God. And we see it all throughout until the devil dropped the Lord. And then after he dropped it, we see that the Lord God continues. Now, I want you to note that in Genesis chapter 1, we see the hand of God. Can we all say the hand of God? And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 downwards, we see Lord. Lord reveals the heart of God. Let's all say the heart of God. The hand of God in Genesis chapter 1, the heart of God in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, when human beings were created. In other words, the revelation God wants to give, listen very carefully, about himself to us, as far as his kingdom arrangement on earth is concerned, is for us to see his heart, to know his heart. Because the name Jehovah or Yahweh, which is a translation of Lord in Hebrew, okay, it tells us the covenant names of God. In other words, there is another person who has come, like mankind, and you want to have an agreement, a covenant with mankind. That is why you brought the Jehovah. You brought the Lord. Okay, so the Lord, the name Lord, is about the heart of God. God revealing his heart to his partner, to mankind on earth. And the way God, the God, is about God revealing his hand or his power to mankind or on this earth. So if you take the Lord God, God wants to reveal, what is the first thing God wants to reveal after his creation? He has finished creating in Genesis chapter 1 by calling himself God. Now, mankind has been created. What is the first thing God wants mankind to know about him? His hand or his heart? It is his heart. Because I brought mankind. If I don't let them see my heart, they will even misuse my hand. So the heart of God being revealed to human beings is God's first priority. In the kingdom arrangement, his heart being revealed is the first thing he wants us to get. That is why you never see in the Bible God Lord. You always see Lord God. Or you see only Lord. Or you see God. But anytime he wants to relate, it is Lord God. Because it's the heart first. Because you cannot relate with my hand. Who can relate with your hand? The hand will slap you. You know, the hand is talking about power. The heart, it tempers the hand. It makes the hand more relatable so that you can relate with God. So God wants to show you as somebody representing him as a believer who believes that you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, you are in the kingdom of his son. Now, he wants you to know the heart of the king. Because if you do not know the heart of the king, you will disobey like Eve. If you know the heart of God, which is a heart of love, if Eve had not been deceived mentally to forget about the Lord, his heart, she would not have disobeyed God. She didn't mind disobeying God, the Almighty, where we see a revelation of his hand, his power in creating things. When the devil said, God, has God said, she was not afraid. Because the devil knows, when you rather forget the heart of God, then you rebel against him. Then you will not obey his word. The reason why people struggle to live a life of obedience is because they don't know the heart of God. They don't know the covenant that he has. The agreement he has made that I am going to be your Jehovah Jireh. I am going to be your Lord that heals you. I'm going to be the Lord that gives you peace. I'm going to be the Lord that gives you righteousness. That is why we disobey. Because we don't have that understanding Jesus Christ was bringing to us when he came to show us the heart of God. And not necessarily the hand or the power of God. He came to show us the love of God. And not necessarily the power of God. If he came to show us the power of God, Jesus should have wiped out all human beings and then create a new human being altogether, so to speak, physical human being, created them all together. That is where you can say that we see the power of God. But we see Jesus Christ demonstrating the heart of God, or the love heart of God, because the same sinner, Jesus Christ, comes to die for the sinner so that the sinner will know that, oh, God didn't condemn me. He rather has repaired me. He rather has made me new again. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.